And historian Mina Mullen-Schulter joins me in the studio to discuss something from Dictionary of Sydney. We've got a special segment today on...
Thanks, Julia. Well, I was looking at houses in Mossman, of all things, on the weekend and sort of staring at these very beautiful Federation places, and you can see all the shingled gables and beautiful stained glass windows. But I guess what you don't see is some of the history of the 1920s, where young Aboriginal girls from the Stolen Generations were actually put to work as indentured live-in maids in some of Sydney's wealthiest homes, cooking, cleaning, caring for children. So one of those sort of hidden, darker histories that perhaps you don't immediately get in Sydney's glittering surface.
Yes. Yeah, certainly not.
So it was a policy from the 1880s to 1969 that the New South Wales Aborigines Protection Board removed many Aboriginal children from their families, and hundreds of Aboriginal girls were taught domestic skills at Cootamundra Domestic Training Home in New South Wales before being allocated to wealthy families in Sydney. And, you know, one third of these children who were removed never returned to their families. So it's a really tragic story. And I guess when we look at Sydney and look at some of these really fashionable middle-class suburbs during that time, it's not just Mossman, it's Strathfield, Killara, Vaucluse, Neutral Bay. Mossman alone, I do know, has about 60 households that Aboriginal girls were working in as domestics. There was nominally meant to be wages paid to them, but these were paid into a trust account and few girls really ever received this money. There was meant to be also sort of sixpence pocket money, which a documentary in the 1980s played upon, a film called Lousy Little Sixpence, which was referring to that sum, which a lot of women also describe never receiving. So it's a really a hard story that these women went through and experienced. When we talk about them being indentured, I guess it was this idea that they were bound legally to their employers for 4 years, but within that, you know, conditions varied really widely. In some accounts you hear there are very kind people that they were working for in that. But certainly a lot of the stories coming out of Cootamundra Girls Training Home are really quite brutal as well, that experience there. One really interesting woman was Margaret Tucker, who was born in the Riverina district, and at age 12 she was taken away. She was put in Neutral Bay to work for a grazier's family, and you know, she remembers being at Cootamundra, only being trained for 3 months, but still describes carrying the scars on her body from what she described as the beltings that she got there in that training program.
Jeez.
And she ran away a lot of times. She escaped to Walgett in northern New South Wales, but she was caught again by the Protection Board and ended up ultimately serving the families, or different families, for about 11 years. But at 21, she couldn't be forced to stay. She couldn't be... She'd served her indentured term. And what's really inspiring about Margaret is she went on to become a tireless campaigner for the rights of Aboriginal Australians during the 1930s. She was one of the founding members of the Victorian Aborigines League and helped organise the 1938 Day of Mourning protest, which was looking at the 150th anniversary of the invasion of Australia. So she's a key part of that early civil rights movement for Aboriginal people in the 1930s.
Wow.
And she was awarded the Order of British Empire in 1968, which is kind of ironic in one sense that she was...
Yeah, yeah, that is.
A victim of this colonisation, but also awarded and recognised for her activism.
It's like a form of slavery, I guess, is it? I mean, and we just don't talk about it. I mean, I didn't learn about that in school, so that's...
Yeah, I think it's certainly something that flies under the radar, even
for sure,
in just that heritage interpretation when you're walking through those suburbs, and a confronting thing for people to think about, that while it's called indentured labour, really, in if they never actually received that money and it was taken away from their families against their will, it is, by any other definition, slavery. And really, the attempts to recover maids' wages over decades have been a really difficult thing to try and trace down, because where the trust money went is really, really hard to trace. But you might have seen last week in Queensland that there's been a landmark settlement where 10,000 Indigenous people, a class action was lodged for them to pursue wages stolen between 1939 and 1972. And that's across men and women, because men are part of this story as well, in terms of young boys being taken onto stations and forced to work in those places as well. So they're set to receive $190 million worth of wages from the Queensland government.
Wow.
So that's actually quite a significant
case
that's emerged from that.
Fantastic.
So, yeah. But that's just a small snapshot, I guess, of a part of Sydney's darker history this morning.
Our darker history, yeah. Very, very depressing. But Margaret there and her activism, that's fantastic. Considering what she'd been through, and then to come out and help other women, wow.
Yeah, very inspiring.
Very inspiring, yeah. Well, Mina, thank you very much for talking about that today.
Thanks, Julia.
Thank you. That was historian Mina Mullen-Schulte talking from the Dictionary of Sydney about Sydney's history, our darker history. And you can catch that on our website, 2scr.com, the full podcast there.